How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Tzariches, Daf 98 of Masechta Bava Kamma. Friends, let's go. All right, we're starting Daf Tzari Zayin Amud Beis, about 6-7 lines from the bottom. The first word on the line: Bo'o mine Rove me Rav Chizde. Bum bum. So Rove Asakasha from Rav Chizde, his father-in-law. Now I don't know if he was his father-in-law at the time, but all right, I'll call upon him. Hamalve es chaveru. Al Hamadbeya, ho ho. So a fellow who so Shimon leads a bunch of, you know, gives a bunch of you know, outlays a bunch of like wheat or whatever to Reuven to go sell, and he's got to get paid back a dollar. Vosifu olive, but now they added, right, a dollar. Imagine like a silver dollar, and now the silver dollars have more, contain more silver content, i.e. they're worth more than a dollar now. They're worth $2, whatever. Mau. So, Amelos of Chizit says, no salamat be'a, yotzi bo'o sashu'a. So you give the more expensive coin, okay? So Reuven goes to pay back Shimon. He has to pay back the current version of the coin, which is taka more expensive. Amelos v'afilu kinafyo. Rava says, even if the new coin is as big as a sieve, Amalei in, he says, yes, even if the new coin is as big as a sieve. Amalei afilu ki tartya, even if it's as big as a tartya. Amalei in, he says, yes, even if it's as big as a tartya. It sounds like a children's book. V'oko zaylin pere, not anymore. Now it gets into ribbis. The children they lose their interest when it comes to ribbis. So v'oko zaylin pere, ho ho. But the problem is that, what does Rashi say? Yeah, exactly. Right. The thing is that, basically, it's too much money. You're like overpaying, right? Meaning relative to the new, more expensive amount, what Reuven received initially is not worth that much. So, and therefore, we have to be concerned about ribis, about interest, right? Meaning be'etzem, Reuven received a dollar's worth of like wheat, but now he's being asked to return, I don't know, $2 worth of, you know, a $2 coin. So he's paying interest, all, you know, in practice. Right? So Amar Rav Ashi Chazinan I Machmas Tivo Zil Mankinon Le. Vi Machmas Tara Zil Lo Mankinon Le. So we say, well, let's do an analysis. If this disparity is because of the increase in the coin, then now the coin is more expensive and by having to return the more expensive coin, so he's overpaying. So yeah, we should lower the amount so that there won't be overpayment. There won't be any concerns of interest. V'machmas tarazil, but if it's the fruits, if the produce, if the wheat became cheaper because, I don't know, there's a lot of rain and there's now a lot of produce, and therefore the price of wheat, right, there's a lot of wheat in the market and therefore it's cheaper. So if that's the reason for the disparity, well then he still needs to pay that coin. V'oka shavach linyan nasra, but still, at the end of the day, the coin is a more expensive coin. There's more silver content in it. It's a more expensive coin. So, I mean, you're going to be overpaying. There's going to be a concern of ribis. Elokiha, d'apopiv revunabre d'revshua, avde uvda bezuze de agardmis tayo'o ad yud bitmanya. No, so rather it's like the Maise, there was something with Rav Papa and Rav Huna Beit Rav Yeshua, his sidekick, that they went to Agardmis, the Arab, and he was, I guess, a money changer guy, and the coins that were originally worth 10 are now worth 8 coins because the coins are more expensive now. And basically, they figured out how to do the cheshbon to make sure that you're not overpaying. Omer Rabba says, Rabba, Azoyrek matbeya shel chaver leyamagodol, ho ho. A fellow who throws his fellow's coin into the great sea, the Mediterranean, I believe. Potter. So the thrower is Potter. My time, how come? Omer, hamonoch kamoch ibois shakli. Because the thrower is going to say, look, it's right in front of you. It's right in the great sea. Go get it. That's only if the sea is clear. If the sea is clear and you can see the coin, so then yeah, say, hey, go get it. But if the sea is murky, and it's not easy to find the coin, well, then the thrower is in trouble. Vanimile de aja aduye. And it's only if he, let's go weiter. Aval shakli biyode migzol gazle hashavaboy mebid. If the thrower actually grabbed the coin and threw it, then he would definitely be on the hook to make sure that it is returned. But if he hit the guy's hand, so then he could say, hey, it's in the clear waters, go get it. Masiv Rave, Rave asked, Akasha, in mechallin al ma'os she'enon birshuso. You cannot be mechal meiser sheni on money that is not in your possession. Ketzad, what are we talking about? Oyu lo ma'os bekastor b'haramelech, if he had money in Kastor and Haramelech, which are places that I think are not easily accessible. Oshenofel kisuli amagodol, or his wallet fell into the great sea. Ein mechalin, so we cannot be mechalol ma'os meiser sheni on that money, and because it's considered inaccessible to him. So we see that money that's in the great sea is considered inaccessible. So therefore, if the guy knocks the money out of the other guy's hand and it goes flying into the Mediterranean Sea, it should be considered no longer in his possession. It should be a problem. Why are we saying, hey, just go get it? What do you mean? It's no longer in his possession. That you just made it no longer be in his possession. You should have to return it to him. Rabbi says, Rabbi, shiny linen meiser. It's different when it comes to meiser sheni. We're more stringent. We have a more stringent definition of in your possession. Because we need it to be available in your hands. Because the Poshit says that you have to take the money in your hand. And once it's in the great sea, it's no longer considered in your hand. And therefore you cannot be mechal maos meiser sheni on it. But in terms of gezela, it would be still considered in the fellow's, in his possession, so that the thrower could say, "Hey, go get it from the clear waters." V'amar Rabba says, "Rabba, ashof matbeya shel chaveroi, a fellow who like knocks his friend's coin to like smooth it out. So he didn't actually remove any of the silver content. He just kind of reshaped it, you know, smoothed it out, knocked it out. So potter. So he's potter." For knocking. My timer, how come? The hollo avad vlomidi. He didn't do anything. It still has the same silver value. Ve'anemile demachye bekurnis of vitarshe. That specifically, if he takes a knocker and a hammer and he knocks it, aval shaifa bishofina. But if you use a plane and actually, like, you know, skimmed off silver content, chasre chasre, well, then he's, making it deficient. And it'll be chai for that. Most of Rave asks a kashi kawal eno visama. The fellow hits a guy on his eye and plops it out. Al ozno v'chersho, or if he, if he hits him on his eye and he gets blind. If he hits him on his ear and he becomes deaf. Eved yotze boy in lecheris, and Eved will go free for that. Kineged eno v'eno roe, kineged ozno v'eno shomea, but if it's next to his eyes and now he can't see, or next to his ears and now he can't hear, ein eved yotzei bo en lecheres, and eved would not go out to freedom. So we see that even in a scenario where there's no physical change, right? For example, you make the guy deaf. There's no physical change over there, and yet we're saying that he goes free. So I would make the same argument that if you knock up, you knock around the coin, and it's sure it's the same silver content, but it's different. Right? In practice, it's a shtickle different. You messed around with the shape and everything. So I would think that's a problem. Just like when you make somebody deaf, even though you didn't physically plop anything out. So Rabba Latami Dama Rabba Chersho La'aviv Nerog. But no, the reason why Rabba would say that the Eved would go free if you make him deaf is because Rabba's consistent with his reasoning, which is, well, if a child were to make his father deaf, he would be killed for that. How come? She'i efshir lachrisha below chabura de tafta de doma naflos lebeune. That Rabba says, look, when somebody goes deaf, it's not that nothing physical happens. Something physical happens. So, yeah, what does it say? It says, there's some kind of a chabura that's made, de Taftu de dama noflus le beudne, that some blood dripped into his ears and made him deaf. So there actually is a physical component to becoming deaf, unlike knocking the coin where the silver content remains intact and unchanged. Where am I? Vom Rabba says, Rabba, Hatsorim ozno ozen parosu shel chaveru, a fellow who, what does tsorim mean? Can somebody tell me what tsorim means? One second. To nick. So, Vom Rabba, Hatsorim ozen, paroso shechavero, somebody who nicks the ear of his friend's cow, Potter. He's Potter. My time, I'll come. Paro kitekaima kaima, because it's still the same cow. You didn't decrease the value of the cow in any way. Okay, it's a value with a nick. So what? Oh gosh, sorry, Bob. It's a cow with a nicked ear. So what? Where am I? He didn't do anything. Look, not every single cow can be offered as a korban, right? Because a cow that has a tsorim ozno is I believe a mum. But okay, fine. So it has a nicked ear, but I mean, it doesn't affect its ability to plow or anything like that, or to be eaten or whatever it is. So therefore, he's potter. Masiv Ravi ha'ose melacha b'meichatos u'parischatos potter. That somebody who does melacha with the mechatas, right, the water that has the ashes of the paraduma mixed into the parashatas, or I believe the paraduma itself, and like you use it for like as like a weight or something. Well, maybe the mechatas use it as a weight. The parashatas, maybe you actually like, do work with it. Potem din yadam chay b'din eshamayim. So then he's potem din yadam chay b'din eshamayim. Milocha udilo minkar hazeka, so that's specifically by milocha, avot soreim de minkar hazeka achinami de mechayiv b'dini odom. But I would argue that if you nick the ear of a paraduma, you'd be chayiv to pay for that, even b'dini odom. Amri hu adin dafilu tsoreim potter, no. Even if you nick the ear, you would be potter by a paraduma. Kam ashman, it's letting us know dafilu milocha udilo minkar hazeka chayiv b'dini shamayim, that even milocha, where you can't tell that anything has happened, you're still going to be chayiv at least b'dinei shamayim, because now the animal is no longer usable as a paraduma. I believe. Yeah. Okay. Where am I? V'amar Rabba says, Rabba, asorif shtari shel chaveru. A fellow burns his friend's document. Shimon goes and he burns Reuven's document. Potter. Shimon is Potter. The Omerle, because Shimon says to Reuven, Niyara kaloi minoch, all I did was burn a piece of paper. Chill out. Maskiflo Rami bar Choma. Rami bar Choma asks a kash echidami. What's the scenario that we're talking about? Idi iko saide di yade mayava bishtore lichtvu le ishtore me'alyo. If there are witnesses that know how much money was written into the document, you know, it was a document that said that Reuven can collect $1,000 from Levi, whatever. So if you have two witnesses who are saying, oh yeah, we know about that document, so that by Shimon burning that document, it means that Reuven can no longer collect with it, so then Shimon's going to have to pay him $1,000. Or no, forget about $1,000. And then the point is that just write a new one. Meaning if you have witnesses who know how much it is, so just write a new document. I think that's the point. V'idaleko side, let me just make sure. Yeah, if there are witnesses that know how much is in it, so then just let them write a new one. V'idaleko side, and if there are no witnesses, then obviously Shimon is going to be potter for burning the document. We don't know what was in that document. It's a piece of paper as far as we're concerned. We have no clue what was written. We don't have any witnesses to tell us. So Amar Rav says, Rav, Tehei b'may mino. Well, let's say he's talking about a scenario where Shimon believes Reuven, right? Reuven says to Shimon, hey, what'd you do that for? That document was worth $1,000. And Shimon's like, oh, I believe you. So even in that case, Shimon is potter. He doesn't have to pages. He says, oh, well, I just burnt a piece of paper anyways. Amar Rav Dimi Bar Chanino, says Rav Dimi Bar Chanino, Hod de Rabba, this statement of Rabba, that Asor Shtosh Chavero Potter, that if Shimon burns Reuven's document, Shimon is Potter. Machlokas Reb Shimon v'Rabbani. Let's say it's Taka Machlokas Reb Shimon and the rabbis. Where am I? Reb Shimon v'Rabbani. Reb Shimon to Omar. Dovra Agorim Limomin Kimomin Domi Mechayev. According to Reb Shimon, who says Dovra Agorim Limomin Kimomin Domi, that something that causes money is like money. A document that can be traded for money. Right, that could be right. You show the document, you get money. So it's like money. So Mechayev. So according to Reb Shimon, Shimon should be Chayev for burning the document. And according to the rabbis who say Dover Agorim LeMoment, something that right that causes money, that can be exchanged for money, is Lav Kimomen. So yeah, so that would be like Rabba. That, like Rabbi says, Rabbi saying like the Chacham, that Potter, because Davar Gorim Mamon Lav Kimamon Dom. Maskif Lo Rav Huna Breid of Yeshua Ho. Rav Huna Breid of Yeshua Asa Kasha Emer De Shamis Leil Reb Shimon. I'll say that according to Reb Shimon, Davar Gorim LeMamon Kimamon Domi, that when Reb Shimon says that something that causes money is like money. Bedover she'ikaro mamon, something that initially had a proper financial value, right? A document is always simply a document. You write a document; it's worth, right? It's a piece of paper, that you could transfer for money. But from its initial writing, it's a piece of paper. Now, okay. Where am I? Kid Rabba, like Rabba, the Amar Rabba goes al chometz lifnei apaisich. That says Rabbi, if a fellow steals chometz before Pesach, so chometz has a value. What's chometz? I kind of want to find a replacement for pizza. I'm bored of pizza. What's a good chometz thing that we should use? What's a good chametz thing that we should use? I don't know. I don't know. What's an example of chametz we should use? I don't know. Does anybody want to suggest like a chametz that's just a really good example? Chametz. I don't know. Chometz. Just chometz. 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 I don't know. I guess maybe I don't get so excited about like chometz. Dama Rabba gozel chometz lifnei Pesach. Whiskey. It'll work for this example. All right. Whiskey. Whiskey's worth something. Whiskey, right? Whiskey, you know, is expensive. It costs something. So, gazel chometz lifnei Pesach, a fellow steals whiskey before Pesach, so that's mammon. Uva acher visorfa b'moed potter, and then somebody else comes and burns the whiskey on chol hamoed because it's chometz, and he's potter, because achakol mitzuvim all of levaro, because everybody has a mitzvah to burn chometz on Pesach. Le'achar Pesach, but after Pesach, right? So if Reuven stole whiskey, or let's say Shimon stole Reuven's whiskey, okay, before Pesach, and now it's after Pesach, so the whiskey is chometz she'over all of a Pesach, and it's also ba'ano'o. So on the one end, you would think, well, it's also ba'ano'o. What can you do with it? If somebody burns it, they should be potter, but not necessarily. Machlokes Reb Shimon v'Rabbanan. This is punkt, the machlokes between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanan. The Reb Shimon do'over dover gorim lemomin kumomin domi chayiv. According to Reb Shimon, who says dover gorim lemomin kumomin domi chayiv. What does that mean? That means, well, granted that this whiskey she'over olav chamish'over olav a Pesach, this whiskey post Pesach is also bano, it's worthless. But since I think Shimon we said was the ganif, Shimon the ganif can give it back to Reuven and say, "Arei shelcha lefanecha, here, take it back," and then he wouldn't have to pay the value of the whiskey. So it's a davar agarim lemamon. It's even though it's valueless, it's a cause of money in that if you don't return it, if Shimon doesn't return it to Reuven, he's gonna have to pay Reuven the value of what he stole, the value of the whiskey. But he could return it, and then he wouldn't. So it's something that can be kind of be used for financial value. So it's a davar agarim lemamon that can cause mamon, and therefore, if somebody now burns this whiskey, they'll be chayev because they're causing Shimon to lose money. Because now he's going to have to pay Reuven. L'Rabbonon de'amri tovagorim l'momen lav kimomen domi. And according to the Rabbonon, who say that tovagorim l'momen lav kimomen domi, we don't treat it like money. And therefore, if somebody were to burn it, so then potter. So that's bedavar she'ein ikaro so bedavar she'ein ikaro mamin mi aminon. So by chametz, whiskey that initially has a value and then it becomes valueless, but it still can be like kind of, you know, a cause of money, right? Such as, you know, you can return this valueless whiskey and then you don't have to pay. So that's where we talk about davar garim mamin kimamin domi. But a document which is, it was never worth something. It was always just a piece of paper that can be traded. It never was like something that was, that it itself had a value, that it itself was valuable. It could always be traded for money, but it itself doesn't have a value like whiskey does. So then would Reb Shimon say, Davar Gorim L'Mamon is Kimamin Domi, and say that you would be Chayiv? Not necessarily. Omer HaMeimer, Mandidoin Dino De Garme, somebody who's mechayev by gromis, magbi bay dmei shtore ma'alyo, so then you would be able to collect, I guess if Shimon burns Reuven's document, so then Reuven would be able to collect the value of the document because he's doin dina de garmei. Umandelo doin dina de garmei, magbi bay dmei nyora be'alma. But if you don't judge gromas, the fact that this document can be transferred for money, if that's irrelevant, but then at least you're burning the document, that at least pay the value of the document, whatever that costs. A dollar, whatever it is, I don't know. A dollar, that's a lot. The value of the piece of paper, whatever. Have a uvdo v'chafi rafim l'rav ashi v'ag bebei kikshura litzalma. There was once a maise where Rafram forced Rav Ashi, I guess he Rashi says when he was a young fellow, there was a scenario where I guess Rafram had to force Rav Ashi to pay for the value of a document, the finest, you know, from the finest, kind of like a beam that you would use to etch a I don't know image onto. So it sounds to me like Rafram was be'etzim saying that you would have to pay the value of the document, I think, not just the piece of paper, I think is the point. So now the Mishnah had said, Chomitz v'over olav a Pesach omer l'arei shelcho lefanecho. Oh, did I? Wait, what am I doing here? Okay. So Chomitz v'over olav a Pesach, we have Chomitz, now it's post Pesach, it's also Bano, omer lo arei shelcho lefanecho. So he could say, arei shelcho lefanecho. So, okay, to use the same characters from earlier, Shimon stole chometz, whiskey, from Reuven, and now it's after Pesach. The whiskey, he didn't sell it, so, you know, it's also ba'ano. And he gives it back to Reuven. He says, oh, by the way, here's your whiskey back. And Reuven's like, what? You son of a gun. Shtunk. This is worthless. Why are you giving it to me? It's Chomitz Shavu Lava Pesach. Well, he says, Arishal Chalifnecha. Here it is. Take it back. Man Tana Omrin Be Isuri Anoya Arishal Chalifnecha. Who is the Tana who says that by Isuri Anoya, such as this Chomitz Shavu Lava Pesach, we would say, Harishal Chalifnecha, here, take it back. Amriv Chizde, Rib Yaakov, he. Rav Chizde says it's Rav Yaakov. The Tanis, we learn in the Brisa, Shor Shehemis Ad shelo nigmar dino. So if you have an ox that killed, now we know what happens to an ox that killed. Ho ho. Ho ho. Ooh. We know what happens to an ox that that kills. I don't know what I just said, but what happens if an ox kills? Ho ho. He gets stoned. He gets stoned. He gets stoned. The painful, gruesome getting stoned. Dino. So now, but if it's prior to the verdict of the court, so during this sort of awkward phase, when we know that the ox is going to get stoned, but it hasn't been decided yet in court, so in the awkward stage, machro macher, if you sell the ox, it's sold. Hekadesh umukdosh, if you mock the shit to the Beis HaMikdosh, it's makdished to the Beis HaMikdosh. Shachato, if you slaughter it, b'soru mutter, you can eat it. Hechziru shomer levaylov. If somebody was guarding, he was a custodian, when the ox killed, and during the awkward stage, the custodian returns it to the owner, muchzer, it's returned. Mishenigmar dino. But post-verdict, when we're going to stone the cow, the ox, machro eno macher, at that point it's too late. If you sell it, it is not a good sale. Ekdisho eno mukdosh. If you makdish it, it is not makdished. Shochato besaro osur. If you slaughter it, you're not allowed to eat the meat. Hechziro shomer levailov. If the custodian at that point returns it to its original, to its owner, ain't no muchzer, it's not returned, and the custodian is going to be chayiv. Reb Yaakov Omer, says Reb Yaakov, af mishenigmar dino, even post-verdict, hechziro shomer levaylov muchzer, if the custodian returns the ox to its owner, it's returned. So we see, or at least we want to say, as we're going to see in a second, that Reb Yaakov is saying that by isuri anoyo, such as this ox, which is condemned to stoning, by isuri anoyo, according to Reb Yaakov, apparently, we say here, take it back. My lab, welcome if it says machlok between the Tanakam and Reb Yaakov is to Reb Yaakov sover omen by isuri anoyo hareishel cholifonecho. The Reb Yaakov says that by isuri anoyo, such as this ox that needs to be this condemned ox, we could say here, take it back. The Rabbonon and the rabbis who say that the custodian at this point cannot return it, Savri ein omrin bisuri anoyo hare shel chelifonecho. We don't say by isuri anoyo, here, take it back. Omar le rabo, rabba says lo nisht. Nisht, nisht, nisht. Rabba says to Rav Chisda, nisht. Don't tell me that this is the opinion of Reb Yaakov, and that the rabbis would disagree with regard to isuri ano omen areshel chelifonecho. D'chuli amo aminun b'isuri ano areshel chelifonecho. Ho ho ho! That everybody agrees that by isuri anoyo we say areshel chelifonecho, here, take it back. Well then, why do the rabbis say then by this ox that's condemned, the custodian cannot return it? The imke niflagu bechometz bepesach. Sorry, read a shtickle more. Because if in fact it was a machlokas between the Tanakam and Reb Yaakov about, do we say by isuri anoyo hareishelcho lefanecho? Well, then the rabbis shouldn't. This machlokas should not be limited to a shor anisko. It should also be by the whiskey, by the chometz of our love of Pesach. We should say there too, the rabbis would say that you cannot return it. But that, but we see that that's not the case. Elo Omer Rabba, rather Rabba says, Hocha begomrin dinu shel shor shelo befonov ko miflige. Ho ho. The machlokas here between the Tanakame and Rabbi Yaakov is limited to the case of the shor aniskol. And it's a question of Gomrindino shel shor shelo befono. Can somebody please explain to the people at Babylon Talmud what this means? Fine. I'll do it. But first, I gotta rub my nose. Sorry, Mom. Fine. Where are we? Oh, Gewaldig. Oh, Gewaldig. Gewaldig. Thank God it's a rainy day. There's no power washers. I'll take a rainy day over power washers any day. Probably. Especially in the winter. Rain is good in the winter. So, oh, this is Gewaldige stuff. What's Gewaldige stuff? Ah, yes, this. So we have a custodian. The custodian is watching watching the ox. Under his watch, the ox kills somebody. Additionally, under his watch, the ox the custodian essentially, you know, as the owner is arguing, the custodian then takes the ox to Beis Din for the ox to be sentenced to death. The question is, was that an irresponsible move on the part of the custodian that the owner can hold against him and say, you shtunk, you are the one, it's your fault that my ox is being stoned now. You can't just give it back to me. And this all comes down to the question of, do you need the ox to be present in the Beis Din in order to condemn it to death? According to the Chachamim, the answer is no. Sorry, I gotta rub my nose again. According to the Chachamim, they would say that the ox would have to be there. The ox would have to be there. Right, because he said that the owner could say to the custodian, I don't want it back, they do. Because, because we said according to Rabbi Yaakov, he says, it's probably all in the Gemara, but for some reason I'm doing it at the top of my head. But Rabbi Yaakov is the one who says that, right, that you could take it back. Right. And the Chacham say you can't. The reason why, so what are we talking about? The custodian is watching this ox. The ox then kills somebody. Great. The ox then goes to Beis Din under the custodian's watch and condemned to stoning. Now, the Chacham said that you cannot, right, once there's the verdict, the custodian can no longer return it to the owner. Why so? How come? Because in order to condemn the ox to be stoned, the ox would have to be in Beis Din. Therefore, the owner says to the custodian, I don't want the ox right now. It's your fault that the ox is condemned to death because you took the ox to Beis Din. If you would have given it back to me before, I would have taken it down to the rushes down by the riverside. Nobody would have been able to find it. And it would not have been condemned to death by you. Like a shtunk, you took the ox to Beis Din. It's your fault that it's condemned to death. I don't want it back. I want money. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov will say, nah, you don't need the ox to be in Beis Din in order to condemn it to death. And therefore, there's no way out of it. You know, even if the custodian would not have brought the ox to Beis Din, still the Beis Din would have said that this ox is chayav misa. So therefore, you know, even if he would have returned it to the owner in advance, and the owner would have taken it to the rushes down by the riverside where nobody could find it, that would have made no difference because Beis Din would have condemned it to death in absentia. So there's really no way out of it. So that's why Rabbi Yaakov says, "Areishel cholifanecha." So really, be'etzem, everyone agrees. Rabbi wants to say that be'isuri ano omrim areishel cholifanecha. By Yisur, now you can give it back. But there's an added thing specifically in the case of this ox that killed, which is there's a question of does the ox have to be at the case in order to condemn it to death? Because if you say that the ox has to be there, well, then you could argue that, well, it's the custodian's fault, because if you just would have given back the ox to the owner and the ox would have taken it to the rushes down by the riverside, then it never would have been condemned to Misa and it never would have been also by Noah in the first place. Shtickle mouthful, but all right. Specifically by this ox and the custodian, is do you need the ox to be in the court to condemn it to death? Rabbanan Savri, Ein Gomrin Dino Shoshor Shelo Bifanov. You cannot condemn the ox to death in absentia. It must be in the Bezdin. And therefore, the Amrle, so when the custodian, post-verdict, attempts to return the ox to the owner says to the custodian, E-I-C-say-ni-ali, if instead of bringing the ox to court, you would have brought it to me, have my rikna leila agma, I would have brought it to the rushes down by the riverside. Hashta masarte biyad mandlo matzino lishta uye dina baide. No, but no, you didn't do that. You didn't give it to me. You took it to court like a shtunk. And therefore, I am not taking this back. I'm only taking money back. Rabbi Yaakov Sovar, whereas Rabbi Yaakov holds Gomrin Dino Shelshor Shelo Bifanov, whereas Rabbi Yaakov says, look, at the end of the day, you don't need the ox to be there. You can even condemn it to death in absentia. So therefore, returning it to the owner in advance rather than taking it to Bezdin would have made no practical difference. The Omar Lay, that the custodian says to the owner, my Avdi Lay, there's nothing you could have done. Sof, have a gamre le, dino shelo b'fanav. They still would have condemned the ox to death anyways, even in absentia. So, this, you know, here, take it back. Ashkoche Rav Chizde l'Rabba bar Shmuel ho. So now Rav Chizde, who argues with Rabba, Rav Chizde, who wanted to say that Taka, it's Rav Yaakov who says, b'isur yano, omrash areshel chulifanecha, not the Chachamim. So Rav Chizda found Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Amrle Tonis Midi Bi Isuri Anoyo. Can you tell me, can you teach me Epis about Isuri Anoyo? Omar Lay, and Rabbi Bar Shmuel says, in, sure, Tanina, we learned in the Mishnah Beheshiv Esak Zela, when the Pasuk already says that you have to return the stolen thing, Matam Lomar Asher Gozal, why does it then have to say that he stole? Just say, return the stolen object. What's return the stolen object that he stole? Yachzir ki ein shegozel. You return it like it's stolen. Nikan amu, from here they said, gozel matbeya v'nifsel. If you steal a coin and it becomes posel, okay, pears v'erkivu, or fruits and they became rye and yayin. So the echmitz wouldn't make sense over here. Honestly, neither does pears v'erkivu. We're going to ask about that in a minute. But just going based on our Mishnah's division. So over here, so you could change it like yayin v'nisnasech. Whatever it is. Truma v'nitmeis, truma became tomei chometz v'over olav ha-pesach. Behema v'nevda bo'avera. Or behema and avera was done with it. Avodizora, rovea. V'shor, achelonik mardino, and ashore prior to its din. Prior to its verdict. Omela reshoch lefanecha. We say here you can take it back. Manchama said the Omer ad shelo nigmar dino in mishenigmar dino lo. Now who's the opinion who says that dafka by the shore prior to the verdict? You can say areshel chalafanecha, but post verdict you cannot. Rabbanu, it's the rabbis vikatoni, and in that same mishnah or brisa, whatever this is, it says Chometz v'avar olav ha-pesach. We're also talking about Chometz v'avar olav ha-pesach. Chometz v'avar shel chalafanecha. So the rabbis who by a shor are saying that post verdict it cannot be returned, and yet Chometz v'avar olav ha-pesach, they're saying it can be returned. So which means that even the rabbis, right? Everybody holds be'isuri anoya omen. And the reason why post-verdict the ox cannot be returned is the question of does the ox have to be present in the Bezdin or not. But in terms of Bisuri Anoyo, Om La Reshach Lefanecha, everyone agrees that that's a thing. Omar Lay, so if Chizda says to Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Im Mashkachas Lehu Lo Teim Lehu V'lo Midi. If anybody asks, don't say anything because it's going to make me look bad. I.e., he recognized that he was wrong and that Rabba was right. Peiris v'irkivu. So we had just said a minute ago that peiris v'irkivu, if you have fruits and they became rotten, omel arei shalcha lefanecha, we could say, here, take them back. But one second, it's not in our Mishnah we had said, if you look at our Mishnah, peiris v'irkivu mishalim kshas agzela. We say you have to pay like at the time of the theft. You can't just say, here, take back these rotten fruits. It depends how rotten they are. If they're entirely rotten, so then Mishalim Kshas HaGazela. If they're partially rotten, so you can say Ari Shalcho Lefanecha. Friends, that was Daf Tzarichesim Masechta Bava Kama. Friends, tomorrow's Daf, friends, I'm telling you, I think tomorrow's Daf, especially because I want to do like two Daf basically, tomorrow's Daf, I think it's probably, my guess is it's going to be over an hour. We'll see what happens. Peace.